You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
We're talking Cardinals baseball once again on this Wednesday, March 23rd, with Cardinals reporter Jennifer Langosch. Jennifer, thank you for the time as always. And Jennifer, the main topic I want to get to today is a guy who I think, and maybe you agree, is the feel-good story of Cardinals camp right now, a 28-year-old, never played a day in the majors, drafted back in 2009, and he's got a really cool last name, Jeremy Hazelbaker. He's made some waves lately. He's had a couple of good games. And like I said, is he kind of the feel-good story of camp right now?
Yeah, he is. You know, he is a guy who actually lit it up in the minors last year, kind of under the radar, though. He was released by the Dodgers when he was playing for the Dodgers AA affiliate last April, signed by the Cardinals in May, started off in AA, tore the cover off the ball there, got promoted to AAA, just kept hitting there. So much so that Randall Grichuk told me the other day that he heard from some of the minor league guys that this was the best hitter they had ever seen in their life. So, you know, he certainly has a track record there, but what he's done this spring has opened some eyes. I asked David Bell, the bench coach who was filling in as manager earlier this week, you know, is there anybody that's caught your eye? And the guy he mentioned was Jeremy Hazelbaker. So this is a guy who can play all three outfield positions. So that versatility, I think, can certainly be a plus for the Cardinals. He's an above-average base runner, has stolen four or five bases down here. He's hit. Yeah, he leads the team in Grapefruit League home runs with two. So, you know, he's making a push, I think, for a roster spot. I still get the feeling the Cardinals might be leaning toward Greg Garcia for that final bench job. But if they want that outfield versatility, Jeremy Hazelbaker has really shown them everything that he possibly could at this point. And if he's not here with the team in April, I would suspect, given what we saw last year and this year, that this will be a guy that impacts this club at some point this year.
And do you feel that in your discussions with him that, you know, it's so weird that we're talking about a 28-year-old man as being at a crossroads at any point of his life, but in terms of what he does for a living in this profession, he kind of is at a crossroads. Again, drafted back in 2009, has yet to play a single day in the majors, and 28 is kind of that, you know, make or break period where you don't want to be a minor leaguer in your 30s or pushing 30. And does he kind of have that sense that if it doesn't happen for him now, or at least very soon, it may never happen?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, in talking to him, I just get the feeling that he's appreciative of the chance the Cardinals gave him. I mean, he said he was caught off guard last year when he was released by the Dodgers and didn't really know what that kind of meant for a future, if there was any, to his career. So the fact that the Cardinals really kind of took a gamble in signing him, of course, there was really no risk involved, and then invited him to spring training on top of that, and now have given him an extended look in camp. I mean, he's getting as many at-bats as most players here. He's just embracing this opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, I think he certainly realizes he's potentially at a crossroads of his career. I think, you know, he described this as the most fun spring training he has ever had. So, you know, perhaps the change of scenery was a good thing for him, and maybe he's found something in conversations with coaches and players here that have helped him really click. So it is. It's kind of cool to see a story like that. You know, we can talk about all the major league players all the time, but to see a guy who's put in as much work as he had to have a good spring, it's nice to see somebody rewarded for that.
Yeah, and what a great story it would be if he finds his way onto the 25-man roster on opening day for this Cardinals team. Jeremy, we're all pulling for you, so we'll see what the next 2 weeks brings when decision time comes. Some other topics, Jennifer, Ruben Tejada, the newest Redbird, and, you know, the Mets cut bait with this guy, which was kind of surprising, and lo and behold, you know, after the Johnny Peralta injury that really, you know, shook the Cardinals, a team that's had so much misfortune and bad luck in the injury department, here's a guy that's, he's proven, he's a veteran, he's out there for the taking, and John Mozeliak wasted no time. How good of a fit has he been? I know he had a ribby double in today's win over Miami, I believe.
Yeah, he did. He had his first RBI today. He had his first base hit a couple days ago. You know, this signing, it just made a lot of sense for the Cardinals. There's very little risk involved. The fact that the Mets had released him and that the Cardinals could go out and sign him without having to trade or, you know, get rid of another player in return for the $1.5 million salary Ruben's going to be due this year, really, in the baseball world, it's pennies. So it just gives the Cardinals another option. You know, quite frankly, they just didn't think that Aledmys Díaz, as nice of a spring as Aledmys had, was ready for the majors. So, you know, in the little bit that I've seen Ruben play so far, very sure-handed defensively thus far, has had, again, a couple big hits in games, including one today. So he's going to continue to get his opportunities. One of the things the Cardinals noticed, you know, was the kind of the lack of at-bats that he had gotten in Mets camp just because of the overcrowding middle infield that they had there. So they really wanted to get him as much exposure as they could here in this final stretch of spring games. And you know, I think it still remains to be determined exactly how playing time is going to be divided between Tejada and Jed Jerko, who's also still getting an extended look at short. But, you know, it gives the Cardinals with Tejada maybe the better defensive option, with Jed Jerko a better offensive option. So options at this point is only a good thing. And then I think, too, his fit as a utility infielder when Johnny Peralta returns was another thing that made him attractive as the Cardinals went looking for help.
And Jennifer, I'm curious, has there been any discussion or has it been brought up by anybody that, you know, he's the guy that kind of sparked the rule change in the offseason with that collision in the playoffs between himself and Chase Utley? It's known as the Utley rule now, but he was the one that got carted off and he's the one that suffered the broken bone. Any of that come up, or how does he feel about that?
Yeah, I haven't heard much of that talk in the Cardinals clubhouse, though I can tell you that earlier this spring when that rule came to kind of to be, there were several infielders, Colton Wong probably most vocal among them, so they weren't really a fan of this, that, you know, let's not change the way baseball has been played for many years. But I know Tejada, speaking to Mets reporters, seemed appreciative of the rule change. I did ask him about the injury, and he said, you know, he fully healed within, you know, a pretty short period of time over the winter, so he doesn't expect anything moving forward. But it is going to be interesting to see how that rule plays out. I think some players are still concerned that there's a vagueness there in the wording of it, but particularly, of course, in watching Tejada, considering you're right, he was in the middle of it last year.
Yeah, so it's he's kind of the new Buster Posey, I guess, you know, the one that got hurt that sparked a big rule change. And like you said, the wording is kind of vague, and there's going to be some misinterpretations here and there and miscommunications as the season, at least in the early stages. But these things happen. They, you know, they'll kind of work themselves out, hopefully, as the season goes on, and we don't have to see anybody suffer an injury like he suffered on a national stage back last October in the playoffs. Jennifer, to shift gears here on the pitching front, Michael Wacha's most recent start against the Red Sox gave up a pair of home runs a couple of days ago, but he seemed, in his postgame comments, to be a little more content with that particular outing than the ones leading up to it this spring. In what ways did he feel better about himself following that start?
Yeah, he felt his command was a little bit better. I mean, I think it's worth mentioning that Wacha has really been experimenting with a cutter this spring, so we're seeing him throw it in game situations and in spots that, you know, during the regular season we probably wouldn't see it from him. You know, that's what spring training is all about. It's an opportunity not just to build up arm strength, but to also tinker with things here and there. So, you know, I think you're getting to the point now where he has two more starts left in Grapefruit League play. I think we're going to see him really focus no more on now pitching in certain sequences that he would do so in the season, and not experimenting as much as he has been, and then in turn also building up the arm strength to get that pitch count ready for the regular season. So, yeah, his numbers on the surface, not that great. He has allowed a couple home runs through his couple starts, so but he's encouraged. And then, as I said, I mean, I can document that the many great spring trainings that I've seen that have turned into the duds of the regular season and vice versa, other guys who can turn it on once the season starts. So he feels good with where he is. He feels healthy. And at this point, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I know in the past, we've discussed spring training all-stars. And then when the regular season begins, they turn it to pumpkins again. And sure, that's not going to happen with Michael Wacha as long as he's a guy that just knows his body, knows if he feels good, and if he's ready for the regular season. Certainly seems like he's got all those boxes checked. Now, in terms of a guy who does have great spring training numbers, Carlos Martinez, again, today, as we're speaking on a Wednesday, five scoreless innings, I believe five strikeouts, and struck out the side in the top of the first inning to get the game going. He was spectacular once again. Do you kind of, you know, earmark him as a guy? It's like you know he's talented, but when you look at him now, do you say that, you know, this is a guy who can make that proverbial leap from being good and from having talent and potential to really putting it all together and not just being one of the good pitchers in baseball, but somebody who has a chance to truly be elite?
I think so. I mean, I think this is a very special pitcher that we've watched emerge here in St. Louis. I mean, he was absolutely terrific today. You mentioned striking out the side in the first inning, one of those being Giancarlo Stanton, never an easy feat. You know, in this spring for Carlos, I think we've seen some tremendous steps forward, which is especially remarkable when we consider that, you know, 7 weeks ago coming down here, we didn't even know if he was totally healthy. I mean, this is a guy who last September had to shut down because of a shoulder injury, spent most of the winter rehabbing and strengthening. You see that strengthening work, he just looks like a different guy. He's stronger, built all the way around, and the Cardinals hope that, you know, durability-wise, that's going to be a big boost for him. But he's worked on his emotions. I think he's focused much more in channeling his emotions to his benefit, maybe better so than he had in the past. His changeup this spring has been dynamic, and we're seeing him throw it against right-handed hitters. We're seeing him throw it behind in counts, things that he didn't do so much last year, his first year in the rotation. And he's also worked a little bit on his delivery to be in a better position as he finishes to field his position really well, which actually he had a great opportunity to do so today and made a nice play in the game. So, yeah, I think this is a guy who, though he is earmarked to be the Cardinals' number five starter, he has number one or two potential. I mean, he's 24 years old still. I mean, we forget how young he is because he's been around now for 3 years. I think if he can stay healthy, if he can continue with this focus that he's shown this spring, there are special things ahead for Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, totally agreed. I think, it, you know, until proven otherwise, Adam Wainwright is still, you know, the face of this rotation, the ace of this rotation. And but the guy who can really assume that mantle from him in the next, I don't know, year or two, maybe 3 years, is going to be Carlos Martinez. So a bright, bright future ahead for that young man. Like you said, is still only 24. That shocked me to hear because, again, it seemed like he's been around forever, and he's still very much a young man with a lot in front of him, and only good things ahead for him and the Cardinals. Jennifer, just to wrap up, give us a progress report on Yadier Molina. He was back in action for the first time this spring back on Friday against the Tigers. What is the likelihood that he is going to be squatting behind home plate on opening day?
I think it's very strong. I mean, at this point, unless there is a setback, all things point toward Yadi being out on the field in Pittsburgh on April 3rd. He's really checked every kind of box that the Cardinals had, you know, beginning with kind of the catching work and then from there doing a little more throwing work and then lastly being able to hit. And now, you know, it's been a week now that he's been allowed to hit in games, actually has a couple of hits his last few starts. So, you know, I think he's going to be able to accrue enough at bats to feel good about where his timing is by the time he breaks camp. Certainly not, you know, as many as he'd ideally like to have, but a sufficient amount for him. And, you know, for the Cardinals, the value that Yadi brings is so much so in what he can do behind the plate. So, you know, the way they look at it is even if they have to sacrifice a little bit from him offensively as he still works through some timing issues in early April, if they can have him behind the plate helping that pitching staff navigate through starts, that's kind of a trade-off that they are willing to take. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's all positive news. The Cardinals won't say as much, you know, that Yadi will be ready on opening day, but at this point I see no reason to suspect otherwise.
Yeah, hopefully he is behind home plate. If he's not, Brian Peña, who they picked up over the winter, not a bad plan B either, certainly. Jennifer Langosch, we appreciate the time on this Wednesday. We'll do it again next week, of course, as this is Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.